Hello, everybody, and welcome to Daily Bread for Busy Moms. My name is Sophia, and I will be reading for you today. Today is Friday, the 27th of November, which is the 11th of Kislev on the Hebrew calendar. This week's parasha is called Vayetze, and today's aliyah is Genesis 31, verse 17 through 42. Before we start the reading, we're going to bless the Lord and thank Him for His word. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who gives the Torah of truth and the good news of salvation to His people Israel and to all peoples, through His Son, Yeshua the Messiah, our Master. Then Yaakov got up and put his children and wives on camels. He drove away all his livestock and all his possessions that he had acquired, the livestock and his possession that he acquired in Padan Aram, to go to his father Yitzchak, to the land of Canaan. But while Laban went to shear his flocks, Rachel stole the idols that belonged to her father. While Yaakov stole the heart from Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him that he was fleeing. He himself fled with everything that belonged to him, and he got up and crossed the river, and set his face toward the hill country of Gilad. When Laban was told on the third day after Yaakov had fled, he took his relatives with him and pursued him in a 7 days' journey. Then he overtook him in the hill country of Gilad. But God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream at night and said to him, "Watch yourself, lest you say anything to Yaakov, good or bad." So Laban caught up to Yaakov. Yaakov had pitched his tent in the hill country, so Laban and his brothers pitched their tents in the hill country of Gilad as well. Then Laban said to Yaakov, "What have you done, that you've stolen my heart and have driven my daughters away like captives of the sword? Why did you secretly flee away and steal from me? Why didn't you tell me so I could send you away with joy and with songs, with tambourines and with lyres? And you didn't even let me kiss my sons and my daughters. Now you've behaved foolishly. It is in the power of my hand to do evil with you. But yesterday the God of your father spoke to me, saying, 'Watch yourself, lest you say anything to Yaakov, good or bad.' So now, when you up and left because you really missed your father's house, why did you steal my gods?" In response, Yaakov said to Laban, "Because I was afraid, for I thought, 'Suppose you snatch your daughters away from me. Anyone with whom you find your gods shall not live. In front of our relatives, identify whatever is yours that is with me, and take it back.'" But Yaakov did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So Laban went into Yaakov's tent, and Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two maids, but he found nothing. Then he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the idols, put them in the camel's saddlebag, and sat on them. So Laban felt around the entire tent, but did not find them. She said to her father, "Let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for I am having the way of women." So he searched, but did not find the idols. Then Yaakov got angry and argued with Laban. Yaakov answered and said to Laban, "What's my crime? What's my sin that you've hotly pursued me? For you felt through all my things. What did you find? Any of your household things? Put them here in front of my relatives and yours, so that they can decide between the two of us. These past 20 years I've been with you. Your ewes and female goats have never miscarried, and I've never eaten the rams of your flock. I didn't bring you animals torn by wild beasts. I myself would bear the loss. You would require it from my hand, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. I was consumed by heat during the day, consumed by frost during the night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. This is how it's been for me, 20 years in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flocks, and you changed my salary 10 times. Had I not had the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Yitzchak, you would have sent me away empty-handed now. But God saw my misery and the toil of my hands, and last night he became the judge." That was Genesis 31, verses 17 through 42. Our portion from the prophets is 1 Samuel, chapters 10 and 11. Then Shmuel took the vial of oil and poured it on his head. Then he kissed him and said, "Has the Lord not anointed you ruler over his inheritance? When you leave me today, you will find two men near the tomb of Rachel in the territory of Benjamin at Zelza, and they will say to you, 'The donkeys you set out to look for have been found. Behold, your father has dropped the matter about the donkeys and is worried about you, saying, "What should I do about my son?" Then you will go on from there until you reach the terebinth of Tavor, and there three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and the other carrying a jug of wine. Then they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you will receive from their hand. After that, you will arrive at the hill of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is. It will come about, as soon as you enter the town, that you will meet a band of prophets coming down from the high place, preceded by a harp, a tambourine, and a flute, and they will be prophesying. Then the Ruach of the Lord will seize you, and you will prophesy with them. You will turn into another man. Now when these signs happen to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. Afterward, you are to go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice fellowship offerings. 7 days you will wait until I come to you and instruct you what you should do." Then it happened, as Shaul turned his back to leave Shmuel, that God transformed his heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. When they arrived there, at the hill, behold, a band of prophets did meet him, and suddenly the Ruach of God overtook him, and subsequently he prophesied among them. So when all who knew him formerly saw him prophesying with the prophets, they said one to another, "What has happened to the son of Kish? Is Shaul also among the prophets?" Someone there asked, "Who is their father?" Therefore it became a proverb, "Is Shaul also among the prophets?" When he finished prophesying, he came to the high place. Now Shaul's uncle asked him and his servant, "Where did you go?" And he said, "To look for the donkeys. But when we saw that they could not be found, we went to Shmuel." Saul's uncle said, Tell me now, what did Shmuel say to you?" "He assured us that the donkeys had been found," Shaul said to his uncle. "But concerning the matter of kingship, about which Shmuel spoke, he told him nothing." Then Shmuel summoned the people to the Lord at Mitzpah. He said to Bnei Israel, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought Israel out of Egypt, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms that oppressed you. But today you have spurned your God, who is your deliverer, from all your calamities and your distresses. For you said to him, 'No, rather set a king over us.' Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands." So Shmuel brought all the tribes of Israel near, and the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Then he brought forward the tribe of Benjamin by its clans, and the clan of the Matrites was chosen. Finally, Shaul, son of Kish, was chosen. But when they looked for him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, "Has the man come here yet?" The Lord answered, "He's just hidden himself among the baggage." So they ran and brought him from there. When he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders up. Then Shmuel announced to all the people, "Do you see the one the Lord has chosen? Surely there is no one like him among all the people." Then all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king!" Then Shmuel explained to the people the rules of kingship, wrote them in a scroll, and placed it before the Lord. Then Shmuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. Shaul also went home to Gibeah, accompanied by men of valor whose hearts God had touched. But certain worthless men said, "How can this one save us?" So they despised him and brought him no present, but he kept silent. Now Nachash the Ammonite marched up and encamped against Yavesh Gilad. Then all the men of Yavesh said to Nachash, "Make a treaty with us, and we will serve you." But Nachash the Ammonite said to them, "Only on this condition will I make a treaty with you, by gouging out the right eye of every one of you. Thus I will bring disgrace on all Israel." So the elders of Yavesh said to him, "Give us 7 days respite, so we may send messengers throughout all the territory of Israel. If no one comes to deliver us, we will surrender to you." When the messengers came to Gibeah of Shaul and spoke these words in the hearing of the people, all the people lifted up their voice and wept. Now behold, Shaul was coming from the field behind the oxen. So Shaul asked, "Why are the people weeping?" Then they told him the words of the men of Yavesh. Then the Ruach of God suddenly rushed upon Shaul when he heard those words, and his anger blazed. So he took a pair of oxen, cut them in pieces, and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel by the hand of messengers, saying, "Whoever does not come out after Shaul and after Shmuel, so will it be done to his oxen." So the dread of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out as one man. He numbered them in Bezek, and Bnei Israel were 300,000, and the men of Yehuda 30,000. So they said to the messengers who came, "Thus will you say to the men of Yavesh Gilad, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you will have deliverance." The messengers came and told the men of Yavesh, and they were glad. Then the men of Yavesh said, "Tomorrow we will surrender to you, and you can do to us whatever seems good to you." So it was on the following day that Shaul divided the people into three columns. They penetrated into the midst of the camp at the morning watch and struck down the Ammonites until the heat of the day. It came about that the survivors were scattered, so that not two of them were left together. Then the people said to Shmuel, "Who was it who said, 'Should Shaul reign over us? Bring the men so we may put them to death.'" But Shaul replied, "No man will be put to death this day, for the Lord has brought deliverance to Israel." Then Shmuel said to the people, "Come, let's go to Gilgal and reaffirm the kingdom there." So all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Shaul king before the Lord in Gilgal. There they sacrificed fellowship offerings before the Lord, and there Shaul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. That was 1 Samuel chapters 10 and 11. Our next portion is from the writings, and it is Psalm 52 and 53. For the music director, a contemplative song of David. When Doeg the Edomite came and reported to Shaul, telling him, David went to Ahimelech's house. "Why do you brag about evil, mighty man? God's loving kindness is every day. Your tongue plots destruction, like a sharp razor working deceit. You love evil instead of good, lying rather than speaking right, Selah. You love only devouring words, treacherous tongue. God will pull you down forever and snatch you, rip you out of your tent, and uproot you from the land of the living, Selah. Then the righteous will see and fear and laugh at him. Here is the man who did not make God his stronghold. Instead, he trusted in his great riches and was strong in his evil desire. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's loving kindness forever and ever. I will praise you forever for what you have done. I will hope in your name, for it is good, in the presence of your Kedushim." For the music director on Mahalat, a contemplative song of David. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt, commit vile injustice. There is no one who does good. God looks down from the heavens on the children of men to see if anyone understands who seeks after God. All have turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good. No, not even one. Will the evildoers never learn? They consume my people as they would eat bread and never call upon God. There they are in great dread, where there is nothing to fear. For God has scattered the bones of those besieging you. You have put them to shame, for God has rejected them. Who will give salvation for Israel out of Zion? When God restores his captive people, let Yaakov rejoice, let Israel be glad. That was Psalm 52 and 53. Our next and last portion for Friday's readings is Mark 9, verse 1 through 29. Yeshua was telling them, "Amen, I tell you, there are some standing here who will never taste death until they see the kingdom of God come with power." After 6 days, Yeshua takes with him Kepha and Yaakov and Yohanan and brings them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became radiant and brilliantly white, whiter than any launderer on earth could bleach them. Then Eliyahu appeared to them with Moshe, and they were talking with Yeshua. Kepha responds to Yeshua, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let's make 3 sukkot, one for you and one for Moshe and one for Eliyahu." He didn't know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud came, overshadowing them, and out of the cloud came a voice. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Yeshua. As they were coming down from the mountain, Yeshua ordered them not to tell anyone what they had seen, until the Son of Man rose up from the dead. They kept this word to themselves, discussing among themselves what it is to rise up from the dead. And they questioned him, saying, "Why do the Torah scholars say that Eliyahu must come first?" Now he told them, "Indeed, Eliyahu comes first. He restores all things. And how is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be treated with contempt? I tell you that Eliyahu has come, and they did to him whatever they wanted, just as it is written about him." When they came to the disciples, they saw a big crowd around them and the Torah scholars arguing with them. Suddenly, when the whole crowd saw Yeshua, they were amazed and began running to greet him. He questioned them, "What are you arguing about with them? And a man from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who has a spirit that makes him mute. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes stiff. I told your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't." And answering them, he said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to Yeshua. When the spirit saw him, immediately it threw the boy into a convulsion. The body fell to the ground and began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. Yeshua asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" "Since he was a child," the man answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion and help us." "If you can," Yeshua said to him, "all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father cried out, "I believe, help my unbelief." When Yeshua saw that a crowd was gathering fast, he rebuked the unclean spirit, telling it, "I command you, deaf and mute spirit, come out of him and do not ever enter him again." After howling and shaking the boy wildly, it came out. The boy became so much like a corpse that many were saying he's dead. But Yeshua took him by the hand and lifted him, and the boy stood up. After Yeshua came into the house, his disciples began questioning him in private. "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot come out except by prayer." That was Mark 9, 1 through 29, which concludes the reading for Friday. If, however, you're reading the double portion of Apostles this year, you would also read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We're now moving on with the readings for Shabbat, the 28th of November, which is the 12th of Kislev on the Hebrew calendar. The Torah portion for this Shabbat is Genesis 31:43 through 32:2, unless you have a Bible that follows the Hebrew chapter counting, in which case it is Genesis 31:43 through 32:3. In response, Laban said to Yaakov, "The daughters are my daughters, and the sons are my sons, and the flocks are my flocks. Everything you see is mine, but what can I do for these, my daughters today, or for their sons to whom they've given birth? So now come, let's make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me." So Yaakov took a stone and set it up as a pillar. And Yaakov said to his relatives, "Gather stones." So they took the stones and made a pile. Then they ate there on the pile. Laban called it Yegar Haduta, and Yaakov called it Galed. And Laban said, "This pile is a witness between me and you today. That is why its name is Galed, or Mitzpah." For he said, "Let the Lord keep watch between you and me, and when we are out of one another's sight. If you mistreat my daughters, and if you take wives beside my daughters, though no one is with us, look, God is the witness between you and me." Laban said further to Yaakov, "Behold this pile and this pillar which I've set up between you and me. This pile serves as a witness that I won't pass by this pillar to go to you, and that you won't pass by this pile and this pillar to go to me with evil intent. May the God of Abraham and the gods of Nahor and the gods of their father judge between us." Yaakov also made an oath by the fear of his father Yitzhak. Then Yaakov offered a sacrifice on the mountain, and he invited his relatives to eat bread. So they ate bread and spent the night on the mountain. Early in the morning, Laban got up, kissed his grandchildren and daughters, and blessed them. Then Laban left and returned to his place. While Yaakov left on his way, the angels of God met him. Then Yaakov said when he saw them, "This is God's camp," and he named that place Machanaim. That was Genesis 31:43 through 32:3. The Haftarah portion this Shabbat is Hosea 12:12 through 14:9. Or if you have a Bible that follows the Hebrew counting, it's Hosea 12:13 through 14:10. Now Yaakov fled to the field of Aram, when Israel served for a wife. Yes, he kept watch for a wife. So by a prophet the Lord brought Israel up out of Egypt, and by a prophet he was kept. Ephraim has provoked bitter anger, so his blood guilt will remain on him. His Lord will repay him for his contempt. When Ephraim spoke, there was trembling. He exalted himself in Israel, but he became guilty through Baal and died. But now they sin more and more. They made themselves molten images, idols skillfully made from their silver, all of them the work of the craftsmen. They say about them, "Let those who sacrifice kiss the calves." Therefore they will be like morning clouds, like dew passing away early, like chaff blown from the threshing floor, or like smoke from a chimney. Yet I have been the Lord your God since the land of Egypt. You should know no God but me, and there is no Savior apart from me. I myself knew you in the wilderness, in a land of terrible drought. While they were fed, they were satisfied. Filled, their hearts became haughty. Therefore they forgot me. So I became like a lion to them, like a leopard lying in wait by the way. I will meet them like a bear robbed of her cubs, and I will tear open their chests. There I will devour them like a lioness, A beast of the field will rip them to shreds. It has corrupted you, O Israel, for you are against me, against your helper. Where then is your king? So will he save you in all your cities? Or your judges, to whom you said, give me a king and princes. I give you a king in my anger, and take him away in my wrath. Ephraim is bound by iniquity, his sin is treasured up. Pains of birth come on him, he is not a wise son. When the time comes, he should not delay at the opening of the womb. Should I ransom them from the hand of Sheol? Should I redeem them from death? O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your sting? Comfort is hidden from my eyes. Because he is the son of kinsmen, he should have been fruitful. An east wind will come, the wind from the Lord, coming up from the wilderness. His spring will become dry, and his fountain will dry up. He will plunder the treasury of every precious vessel. Samaria will bear her guilt, for she has rebelled against her God. They will fall by the sword, their infants dashed to pieces, their pregnant women ripped open. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled in your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and accept what is good, so we may repay with offerings of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, and we will never again say, our God, to the work of our hands. For with you, orphans, find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger will turn away from him. I will be like dew for Israel. He will blossom like a lily and thrust out his roots like Lebanon. His tender shoots will spread out. His beauty will be like an olive tree, and his fragrance will be like Lebanon. Those dwelling in his shadow will return. They will grow grain and bud like a vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, what more are idols to me? I have responded and observed him. I will be like a luxuriant cypress tree. From me will be found your fruit. Who is wise? Let him discern these things. Who is intelligent? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are straight, and the just walk in them, but the wicked stumble in them. That was today's Haftarah from Hosea 12:13 through 14:10. Our next and very last chapter or portion for this week is John or Yochanan chapter 1 verse 43 through 51. The next day, Yeshua decided to go to the Galilee. He finds Philip and says to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the same town as Andrew and Kepha. Philip finds Nathanael and tells him, "We've found the one that Moshe in the Torah and also the prophets wrote about, Yeshua of Nazareth, the son of Yosef." "Nazareth," Nathanael answered, "can anything good come from there?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Yeshua saw Nathanael coming toward him. He said, "Look, a true Israelite. There is nothing false in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Yeshua answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." "Rabbi," Nathanael answered, "you are Ben Elohim. You are the King of Israel. Because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree, you believe?" Yeshua replied to him, "You will see greater things than that." And he said, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God going up and coming down on the Son of Man." That was John 1:43 through 51, which concludes the reading of Daily Bread for Busy Moms this week. Thank you for listening, and I hope and pray that you have a blessed and restful Shabbat with your family. I'm Sophia, and this has been Daily Bread for Busy Moms. Shalom until next week.